The reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How big do you think Jesus really is? How big is your vision of Jesus? I think for many of us, he's just too small. He's a Sunday Jesus. He's a spiritual Jesus of church and quiet times. But suppose, just for a moment, that Jesus is really interested in every aspect of your life, every single aspect. The dishes and the dog and the day job and the drudgery of some of the stuff you have to do, the TV programs you love, the staff in the local supermarket you speak to, your boss, your neighbours, helping a shopper find the kidney beans, as well as making a cup of tea for a family member or friend. Suppose the truth that every Christian is a new creation in Christ, empowered by the Spirit to do his will, means that Jesus is with you everywhere you go, in every task you do, with every person you meet. Suppose God wants to involve you in what he's doing in the places where you spend your time day by day. Suppose you have the opportunity to spend every moment with him, in him, for him. Suppose your whole life is important to Christ. Well, the truth is, all I've just said is true. When Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, what was probably bothering him were people whose Jesus was too small. For people who were of the opinion that Jesus was all right for the beginnings of spiritual life, but he's not enough for the whole of life. The message of Colossians is that the real Jesus is enough for all of life, because the real Jesus, as verse 18 in our reading tells us, has supremacy over what? Everything. That's the Jesus who is head of this church. That's the Jesus we worship. All creation exists for the glory of Jesus, all creation. Because the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now imagine you're going on a holiday and you're going to be sitting on the beach, so you're taking some good holiday reading to help you unwind. So imagine you open the novel to read it and you start reading at chapter 2 and you never bother reading to the end. You don't bother reading the final chapter. So how are you going to find that book? Probably not very good, as you've missed the beginning and you've missed the ending. Is that what many of us do with the Bible? Our whole message is that human beings are sinful and deserve to be judged, and that Jesus came to forgive us our sins so that we can go to heaven. Now that's wonderfully true. But it leaves us with a Jesus that is too small, because it cuts off the beginning and the ending of the story of the Bible. The Bible doesn't start with human failure. It starts with human dignity. And the Bible doesn't finish with a great escape from creation. It finishes with creation's reconciliation and renewal, when heaven comes to earth and all is made new. That's in Revelation. The beginning and the end of the story are wonderful, as well as the middle, that speaks of the tragedy of human rebellion and the glory of Jesus coming to save us. And what our Bible passage tells us is that Jesus is Lord of the whole story. Creation, and then where it went all wrong through our rebellion, recreation through the cross, and new creation when Jesus returns. He is Lord of it all. He is supreme over everything. And that's the heart of our Bible passage. The Jesus of Colossians 1 is a big Jesus. He's the Jesus of board meetings as well as prayer meetings, of serving customers as well as serving Holy Communion. He's a big Jesus, and his gospel is a big gospel. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That is to say that Jesus embodies all that it is to be truly human, because human beings were made in the image of God, and Jesus is the true image of God. But more than that, to say that Jesus is the image of the invisible God is to say that he himself, the eternal image of God, after which we ourselves were fashioned. He is the one who makes visible the God who is invisible. The one in whom heaven and earth meet, as the invisible God makes himself known to us. And he is the firstborn over all creation. Which doesn't mean that Jesus was the first to be created. He was there already. It means that he is supreme over all creation. Don't know what's happened there. Next slide. Let's go back. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Nothing was created apart from him or independently of him. He is the wisdom of God that gives to creation its unity, its order, its coherence. Jesus is the eternal word of God by which the whole universe was spoken into existence. He's the creator of absolutely everything. Creation reflects his glory back to him. He made this beautiful world that we enjoy. So when we're out walking in beautiful surroundings, we can thank Jesus for the scenery. Or when you're using your gifts at work or in your hobby, thank Jesus, because he's the one who gave you your gifts. He made you for his glory. And he enjoys it when you use your gifts. They're his idea. He loves to see you flourish. He loves it when you make things better for others because he's the God of creation. He cares about everyday life. The real Jesus is a big Jesus who gave shape and substance to the whole of creation. This is what it says from verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All of creation is to be reconciled to Jesus, in him, through him, to him. As human beings have turned our backs on God and tried to live without him, the Jesus-centeredness of the whole of creation has been compromised. We were created to rule creation on his behalf, reflecting God's wisdom and justice, reflecting his kindness to all that he's made. But there's great news. Because in Jesus, God has come to restore and renew creation, reconciling it to himself through the cross. When Jesus conquered death and rose again, he opened the way through death to new resurrection life. Look at verse 19 there. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. You can't imagine a bigger Jesus than that. Jesus is big enough for the whole of life. But following Jesus isn't just about what we see as the spiritual aspects of life. It really is about the whole of life, every single aspect. The complete reconciliation of the world to Christ is still yet to come. But everything in our lives is to be shaped by that future reality to which we are journeying with Jesus. The complete reconciliation will happen when Christ returns, but it's already begun in the life of Christian believers. We are therefore called now, in the middle of time, to begin to live the Jesus-centered life that the whole creation will experience in the fullness of time when Jesus returns again. It's living now in the joyful anticipation that we will be presented blameless in his sight, in the glory of the new creation. So now, as we anticipate that moment, we connect with Jesus and we make him known to others so that they can come to share his risen life as well. We need to keep our vision of Jesus sharp and big and trust and treasure him above all else, and resolve that whatever twists and turns our lives may take, that we'll continue to love and honour him. Now, we're here in church today, gathered together for lots of reasons. Yes, it's good to meet together to praise and worship God. However, I believe the primary reason we are here should be to be equipped to live our lives for Jesus outside of this building. With reference to that film clip that Rachel showed us earlier, church isn't a cruise ship, it's a battleship, and we're on a mission. On a Sunday, we should be being equipped for the ministry for the rest of the week. We all know many people who don't know Jesus. Our mission is to connect with Jesus ourselves. And it's great to do that together on a Sunday and then to make him known during the week. So what do people in this nation know and believe about Jesus? What do they really think of us, his followers? They were just two of the questions the Church of England, the Evangelical Alliance and Hope commissioned Barna Group to ask on their behalf. The result of the survey was this booklet called Talking Jesus, Perceptions of Jesus, Christians and Evangelism in England. The report can be downloaded from the internet and it makes for some interesting reading. The statistics revealed that of the non-Christians interviewed, only 1% of them knew a church leader, but 67% of them knew a Christian. You can have far more impact in making Jesus known to people who don't know him than I can as a church leader. Talking about Jesus and faith can't be left to the church leaders because only 1% of non-Christians know a church leader. And we don't leave Jesus behind when we leave church on a Sunday morning or when we finish our quiet time each day on a morning. Jesus really does go with us onto the front line of our everyday lives where he wants us to know him and to follow him. It changes the way we look at the whole of life when we grasp the truth of that. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's obvious that Jesus comes with us and wants us to know and follow him on our front line. And I agree, it is kind of obvious. But in some ways, it isn't obvious. Because there's this idea that we have a secular life of real stuff over here, in which God doesn't figure much and probably doesn't understand too well either, and a sort of spiritual sacred life over here of Christian stuff, which he's really interested in. And there's this idea of this chasm between these two worlds, and I think that actually runs very deep in the way that we can sometimes think as Christians. This was once said by a Christian: my work and my faith are in completely separate boxes. I don't see what they have to do with each other. What that person was saying was that in his work, he was a practical atheist. His faith and his working life had no connection. It's something we all need to ask ourselves. Are we a practical atheist in work, at home, when on holiday, in our parenting, in honouring of our parents if they're still alive, in politics, in our use of money, in our leisure, in the pub, with our family? The Dutch theologian and politician Abraham Kuyper famously said this: there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." Think of that area of your life where you find it hard to make the connection between your faith and that particular aspect of your daily life. Christ is saying, "It's mine. It's from me." And Jesus wants to journey with you through that part of your life. Is this big Jesus supreme in your life and mine this morning? Is he supreme in the life of this church? Is he supreme in our ambitions, our careers and wealth and material aspirations? Is he supreme in marriages? Supreme in singleness, supreme in relationships, in our work, our families, our leisure, our shopping habits, supreme in our attitudes to creation and its resources. And most of all, is he supreme in our hearts? Have we learned to treasure and trust him above all else, just as God his Father treasures him above all else? True discipleship is whole life discipleship because Jesus is Lord over everything. As we go through this new sermon series, may he teach us what it really is to honour him in everything and to live the whole of the life for Christ. Whole life discipleship is 24/7, 365 days a year. And as part of this new series, we're introducing a new slot in our service each week. It won't always be at this point in the service. It's called the TTT slot, this time tomorrow. I'll invite one of you to come up and share with us where you're going to be this time tomorrow. It's an opportunity for us to find out a little bit more about one another and to pray for each other, support each other in prayer in our whole life of discipleship. And Artwell has kindly agreed to be the first volunteer. So Artwell, would you please come and join me here at the front? Thank you. Well done. So Artwell, TTT, this time tomorrow, can you tell us what you'll be doing, where you'll be this time tomorrow?
I'll be at work tomorrow.
You'll be at work, so
yeah.
What does that mean?
I'll have just finished my mini break. I normally get hungry between 10:30 and 11.
But work, what does work mean, Artwell? What is work in your life? Where are you going tomorrow? What do you do?
I work for the Environment Agency in the finance department. I'm an assistant finance business partner. I look after the projects, every project in the Environment Agency in terms of money spent, money taken out, and all that.
Lovely. So how many people do you work with? So how many people will be in your office tomorrow?
About 15.
50. Oh, quite a big
15.
Office. 15. 15, yeah. Right. Lovely. So this time tomorrow you'll be having your break, but you'll be surrounded by other people.
Yes, I will be. Yeah.
Great. Can I pray for you now as you're in the office tomorrow? Would that be okay?
Yes.
Will you join me in praying for Artwell? You don't have to do this. You want to lean out a hand, joining in with this prayer, you're very welcome to do that. But equally, you can just sit and join in with us as we pray for Artwell in his place of work tomorrow. Lord God, thank you for Artwell. Thank you for the many gifts that you have blessed him with, Lord. And we ask that you would fill him with your spirit and enable him to use all the gifts you've given him to take your light and your love into his workplace tomorrow. Give him wisdom and discernment in all he does. And Lord, may he know your promptings and see your action in his workplace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Artwell. Give him a round of applause. So Artwell tomorrow is going to be in the finance office. Remember to pray for him. If you'd like to be a TTT person, there's a sign-up list out there. No one's too young, no one's too old. We're going to be involving our young people, our children in this. If you're retired, you're also welcome to be involved. You don't have to be in work. Everybody can be a TTT person. If you're thinking, oh, I'd like to do that, sign the list. Even if you're not thinking that, you might get asked, but of course you can say no. It's not compulsory. It's about us as a church family getting to know each other a little bit more and supporting each other as we pray for one another. So would you pray with me now? Lord God, help us all to grow closer to you and to understand better your will for our lives. Help us to have a clearer vision of who you are, and to be aware of you being with us each and every day, guiding us and leading us. Help us all in the ways we live and the ways we speak to people to share your love in our actions and our words. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.